I want you to think about the last time you made a decision and then immediately you second guessed it. I'm not talking about like that big moment, the big life altering decision. I mean, just a regular decision. You decided to send an email and then you're wondering if you should have waited. You said yes to the opportunity and spent 3 days questioning whether no would have actually been smarter for you. You posted the thing and checked back 17 times in the first hour, wondering if the way you said it was the right way. You made the call and you replayed the conversation on loop afterwards, picking apart every word you chose. Normal, right? Everybody does that. That is just being thoughtful. Except here's the thing. There is actually a version of thoughtful that is wisdom. That's the kind that considers things carefully, takes in new information, adjusts when adjusting is warranted. And then there's a version that looks exactly like thoughtful, but it's actually something completely different. It is not wisdom, it is distrust. It is you not trusting yourself, not trusting your judgment, not trusting that the version of you who made the decision had what it took to make a good one. And the wild thing is that most people who are running this pattern don't even know they're fucking running it. They just think they're careful. They think they are thorough. They have no idea that underneath the thoroughness and the carefulness is this very deep, long-standing belief that their instincts are not reliable, that their own judgment needs to be checked, that who they are is not quite enough to be trusted, while the with the decisions that need to be made, that their life requires. You stopped trusting yourself. And if I were to ask you, you probably don't even remember when it happened. So that's what I want to do today. I want to figure out when, and then I'm going to help you fix it. Welcome you guys to the Listen Bitch podcast. I don't know why I'm feeling so distracted right now. That's so crazy. I just like lost all my everything. I lost everything. But let's start here. I am Brandon Lynette. If you guys are new here, thank you for tuning in. I'm the Voice Authority podcast coach. Your mess is your message. And I've been thinking about this topic for a few weeks because I struggle with trusting myself in a lot of areas. And I started to see that reflecting in a lot of things I was doing. But this also helps you with everything else I've talked about in this season, like the courage episodes, the visibility, the ownership. The permission, like every single one of those shows, when you peel back the layer, it kind of has the same thing underneath it. And it's that you don't trust yourself. And I think I haven't touched on this enough. And maybe like on some level you think you do, but I don't really think you do in a way that produces the kind of decisions that build lives instead of managing them. And I'm not saying that to be harsh. I say it out of love, and I say it because I'm in it. I've been in it. I have watched hundreds of people be in it, even just on my interview show. And I'm genuinely convinced that self-trust is the most underrated, most foundational, most everything else depends on this kind of thing that we need to talk about. So before we go in, you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by Super Patch. Of course, I'm wearing them all over the place. Maybe with my colored skin you can't see it, but I even made a post today. I have a patch drawer specifically, and it is the most used drawer in my house. I don't even wear makeup every day, but you better believe I put on these patches. And I'll talk about peace today because the nervous system that's been running on self-doubt for a long time is a nervous system that is not at rest ever. It's always slightly braced, like ready for the ass kicking, always slightly waiting for the other shoe, always generating that low-grade hum of someone who is not quite sure that the ground they're standing on is solid. And peace patch is what I reach for when I need my nervous system to remember what it feels like to just be okay, to be present without the vigilance. Also, it makes me brave enough to sit down and record podcast shows. And I think that says something because it's still scary. 3 years later, 700 shows in, I get nervous. I get more nervous recording podcasts than I do coaching people on their podcasts. I don't know, maybe because it's the visibility of myself, maybe because I just lay all my shit out for you guys. I don't know what the deal is. But these patches are zero ingredient, drug free. I could put them on any body, any body. I could put them on a baby. I could put them on your grandma. No ingredients. This is just vibrotactile technology that tells your nervous system that the floor is solid and that you don't have to keep checking. It's telling you the text is a text and there's not a tiger about to attack you. So you guys can find the link to that in my show notes. But let me just tell you guys how I see self-trust actually getting broken, because the I think I'm distracted because I could hear my son playing the drums in the garage. I think that's it. And I think my brain is just kind of like trying to focus in two compartments right now. That it has to be that. I'm pretty sure it's drums. Hopefully you guys don't hear that coming through. But let's talk about how self-trust actually gets broken. It's because the common story is that something dramatic happens, okay? Like a big failure, maybe a public humiliation, or a betrayal that cost you something real. And the truth is, sometimes that's true. Sometimes there is a very specific identifiable moment where the trust cracks, but most of the time it's not dramatic at all. Most of the time it's just a thousand small moments that fuck up your trust. A thousand times someone in authority over you second guessed your instincts. A thousand times you felt something was right and the room disagreed and you deferred to the room. A thousand times you had a read on a situation that turned out to be accurate and you never got credit for the accuracy. A thousand times the message was, your gut is not the reliable guide here. It's someone else's framework, someone else's opinion, someone else's expertise about your own life that became more trustworthy than what you already know. And if you think about school for a second, from age five, I think that's when they put kids in school. I homeschool, so I don't know. But from age five, I think, five or six, you are in a system that is specifically designed to reward deference to external authority. The teacher has the answer, the textbook has the answer. And then the test measures how well you absorb the answers that were decided before you walked into the room. So, like, your own thinking, your own conclusions, your own instincts about what is true and what is not is secondary at best, and in a classroom, disruptive at worst. And for 12 or 16 or 20 years of your most formative fucking life, your brain is being trained that the internal voice is the one to double check against the external source. And then you become an adult and you're supposed to just trust yourself. You're supposed to make your own decisions with confidence. You're supposed to know what you want and pursue it without constant second guessing. And you can't. Not at a full level. Because that internal voice that was supposed to be your compass got systematically undermined for 20 years. And now you're trying to navigate with a compass that was told repeatedly that it's not reliable. That's not a personal failing. This isn't your fault. That is the output of a system that needed you to defer to authority. A system that, by the way, benefits enormously from your continued deference. Because a person who trusts their own judgment is a person who evaluates information critically. That's a person who asks questions, who does not just accept what the institutions, the algorithms, the advisors, the political structures tell them is true. A person with strong self-trust is the most expensive kind of citizen for any system that profits from compliance. So the undermining, you guys understand, was not accidental. You're a guinea pig, my baby. It was a design. And there is some brain science behind this, and I'll try to make this as consumable as possible, because when you guys really understand the mechanism, then you stop blaming yourself for the pattern and you can step the fuck out of the loop. you don't have to continue in Groundhog Day because everything makes sense and you know you can step outside of it. When you make a decision and immediately second guess it, you are experiencing something called post-decisional dissonance. The brain made a call and now it's going to run a background check on the call. It's going to compare the decision to the self schema. We talked about that yesterday. And asking, is this consistent with who I am? Is this the kind of decision the person in the file would make? And it checks you up against the files. For someone with strong self-trust, your self-schema is going to be like, fuck yes. This is the kind of decision I make. My judgment's reliable. I have evidence of this. And you fucking move forward. For someone whose self-trust has been eroded, the self-schema says something different. It says, I'm not fucking sure. My judgment has been questioned before. The external sources have disagreed with me before. Maybe I should check. Maybe I should get another opinion. Maybe I should wait and see what other people think before I commit to this. And then the checking starts. There is this sudden seeking of external validation, the polling of your friends, the research spiral. The 17 times refreshing your metrics to see if the decision was right, that kind of neurotic behavior. All of it is the brain trying to compensate for the missing internal anchor. It is trying to find outside of itself what was supposed to be available on the inside. And the problem is that external validation is an incredibly poor substitute for internal trust. Not because it's not helpful sometimes, because it cannot do what internal trust does. External validation is so fucking conditional. It depends on the availability and the opinion of the people around you, so it shifts. It can be withdrawn, it can be wrong. Internal trust is yours. It is portable, and it goes with you into every single room. It doesn't require someone else to be present for it to work. And self-trust is built through the same mechanism as every other neural pathway, because we know neuroplasticity is one of God's greatest gifts. Repetition of the behavior that produces the evidence that updates the model. Ding, ding, ding. Every time you make a decision and let it stand without the spiral. Every time you trust the instinct and see it pan out. Every time you check in with yourself before you check in with anyone else, and then you honor what you find. That's how you build the self-trust pathway. You're giving the self-schema that new data. You're updating the file. And the file gets updated one decision at a time. Every decision you make today that you do not immediately second guess is a rep. Every instinct you honor is a brick in the foundation. And the foundation is being built right now. You are building it or you are eroding it. There is no neutral option. Every spiral erodes it, every held decision builds it. And the conversation can stop being personal and way personal at the same time. I don't want to be too theoretical. I want you to recognize yourself in at least one of these, maybe even more than one. So, like, say you're in a meeting or a room and you have a thought and it's real and it's clear and it's valuable. And instead of saying it, you hold it. You wait. You watch to see if someone else says something similar. And if they do, you nod. If they do not, you decide maybe it was not worth saying. You have just outsourced the validation of your own thinking to the response of the room. That is self-doubt operating in real time. Or maybe you are building something and it is going well by any reasonable measure, and you're still not sure that it's good enough. And it's not because the evidence suggests it's not good enough. It's because the internal voice that's supposed to tell you it's fucking good enough. It's just not reliable enough for you to trust it. So the going well does not produce that, it's not producing that settled feeling that it should. It just gives you a temporary reprieve before the checking starts again. That is self-doubt operating on the thing you care most about. Maybe you are asking for opinions before you form your own. Not because you want information, because you want permission. Because your own conclusion does not feel like it's solid enough to act on until someone else has validated it. You are collecting permission from external sources for decisions that were always yours to make. That is self-doubt operating as the default process rather than the exception. Or maybe you're one of the lots of people that I talk to that finish the thing and then don't put it out. The episode is recorded and it stays in the drafts. The offer is written and it stays in your notes app. The post is drafted and it gets deleted. And it's not because it's not good. It's because the internal voice that is supposed to say this is good enough to send, it doesn't have enough authority to be heard over the doubt. That is self-doubt literally holding your potential hostage. And the one that should and would make a lot of you genuinely uncomfortable, you have a sense of what God is calling you towards. You have it, a specific direction, a specific work, a very specific version of your life that keeps coming back regardless of how many times you've set it to the side. And you keep questioning whether that sense is real, whether it's actually from God or whether it's just you wanting something, whether the calling is legitimate or if you've made it up, whether you're special enough to be called to something real. That last one is probably the most expensive form of self-doubt available because it's not just about a decision. It is a doubt about the source, about whether your own spiritual perception is reliable, about whether the thing you feel most deeply is actually true. And I'll come back to that one because I think that is a whole conversation in and of itself. And I'll give you an image that I want you guys to imagine. Imagine you have a compass, okay? Real high quality compass. It's been with you for years. It knows true north. It's guided you through terrain that would have been impossible to navigate without it. It is genuinely the most reliable tool you own. But somewhere along the way, someone told you that the compass was off, and they didn't have any evidence. Just with enough authority and enough frequency that the seed of doubt got planted in your brain. And now, every time you look at that compass, you check it against other sources. You look at the sun. You look in your rear view at the little NWES. You ask someone nearby which way they think north is. You pull out your phone and you compare it. And every time the compass agrees with the other source, you feel briefly reassured, and every time there is a discrepancy, you assume the compass is the thing that is wrong. You, my friend, are hiking with a perfectly functional compass, and you keep treating it like a liability. Your instincts are the compass, your judgment is the compass, the internal knowing that tells you which way is north in your own life, the sense of what is right for you, what fits. What is the direction? What is the calling? That is the compass. It's not broken. It was never broken. It was just told it was broken enough times by enough sources that seem credible that you stop fucking trusting it. And now you're hiking with a compass. You keep double checking against the opinions of people who are not navigating your terrain. They don't know your destination. Those people are working with incomplete information about where you're going and why, and you're giving their confusion about your direction more weight than the compass that's been pointing true north for your entire life. Trust the fucking compass. Check it with wisdom, not the doubt. There is a difference, and wisdom brings in new information that might genuinely update direction. Doubt just spins. That's the fucking wheel. That's the wheel. The erosion of your self-trust was not an accident. I already said it about the school system. But that's just the first chapter. Every institution that you move through as an adult has its own version of the same design. The corporate structure that asks you to defer to the hierarchy rather than trust your own read on a situation. Oh, management culture that framed your confidence in your own judgment as arrogance when it conflicted with the direction from above. Or even religious environments that sometimes told you the self was the enemy, that your own desires and instincts were inherently suspect, and that the flesh could not be trusted, that the only self safe, solid move was to subvert the self to the institution's interpretation of God's will. Wellness, therapy culture that has, with I believe genuinely good intentions, sometimes created a framework in which every instinct is a trauma response. Every feeling is data about your wounds rather than wisdom. Every internal sense of direction needs to be processed through a therapeutic lens before it can be acted on. I half-heartedly believe in therapy. I believe in processing. I also believe that sometimes the internal voice that says this is not right for me is not a fucking trauma response. Sometimes it is just the basic truth. And big tech. I mean, shit, they built the whole infrastructure of the attention economy on the very specific erosion of self-trust. When you are constantly comparing yourself to other people, you're constantly consuming evidence of how other people are doing the thing, constantly measuring your internal sense of how it is going against the external metrics of how it's supposed to look. You are being fed a steady diet of information designed to make your own internal measure feel insufficient, because insufficient people keep scrolling. Confident people close the fucking app and they go do the work. Know what was done to the compass. Stop letting the same systems tell you that it is broken. There's a story Jesus told about a man who had two sons. The younger one asked for his inheritance early, basically told his father, "I wish you were dead. Give me my half now." And the father did it. The kid took the money and left and buried it. Burned. No, the first brother burned through all of it in a foreign country. He hit rock bottom. He ended up feeling, he felt terrible. He fed pigs, wishing he could eat what they were eating. It's awful. And then the story says something. It says something. It says he came to himself. He came to himself. I've read it a few times. He didn't go to a therapist. He didn't go to a mentor, not to a framework or a system or a set of external instructions. He came back to himself, to the internal knowing that had been there the whole time. And the knowing said, "My father's servants live better than this." The knowing that said, "I can go home." The knowing that said, "This is not who I am or where I belong." He had been so far away from himself, so lost in the foreign country of other people's environments and other people's values and the consequences of decisions made, when he was not listening to the deep internal voice, that he had to come back to himself before anything else could happen. That coming to himself moment, that is what self-trust restored feels like. That recognition of the internal voice that was always there saying, "I know what is true. I know which way is north. I know who the fuck I am and what I was made for. I was just not listening." So his father sees him coming from a long way off and he runs to him. Put the robe on him and the ring, and then he threw him a party. Not because the son earned it back, because the son had come back to himself. And the return to self, the decision to trust the internal knowing again, was enough. That was the whole thing. Everything else just follows that. You might be in the far, far country right now. Not geographically. I'm saying in the place where you have been operating so far from your own internal compass that you've lost the sound of it. And what I want you to know is that coming back to yourself is available. Right now, in the episode, the return does not require anything, no dramatic moment. It just requires a simple decision to start listening to yourself again. You come back to yourself, the father's already running. There are th I made a decision I knew was right, and I let everybody around me talk me out of it. I don't even have to go into details because some of it's still kind of tender. And some of the people involved are people I really do love. But the shape of the story is this. I had a clear sense, internal, settled. Like, I know where the fuck the compass is pointing about a direction I needed to go. It wasn't a desire, it's a knowing. And sometimes that's scary to bring up against people. is the knowing, because no one's going to understand what God is saying to me. It's just that kind of knowing that sits different in the body than like a preference does. It's deeper, it's quieter, it's more certain, it's less excited, and it's just solid ground. Of course, I didn't trust it. And it's not because the knowing was unclear, it's because the people around me were unclear. The voices in my environment had other opinions. Good ones, genuinely, but they were not. I don't think anybody intentionally has ever tried to steer me wrong. I think people are genuinely trying to help, but they aren't working with the complete information. They're navigating my terrain with their maps, which had a lot of their own experience on them and very little of mine. And I gave their maps more authority than my compass. And so, this last year, I spent a better part of this last year going in a direction that was not the one the compass had pointed to. And it's nothing dramatic. I mean, it's not dramatic, it just wasn't right, and it just, I was ignoring it. And really, it's just, I felt this low grade resistance the entire time. Every decision I made, every conversation I had, it just wasn't lighting me up. And I knew that this was not the thing. And so you have the pride of, I don't want to let people down. They believe in me for whatever reason. I know they weren't trying to hurt me. Also, that second guessing of like, do they know better than me? Because they're in a different place than I am. And I eventually, like, they're people, they're my mentors, right? I aspire to be like them on some level. It wasn't my calling. I was doing a reasonable thing, not the true thing. And eventually, I came back. I mean, it was exhausting, but I came back to my own compass. And I've come in the direction that this compass was pointing the whole time. And there is a very unmistakable aliveness that came from being in the right direction that was so different from the detour that I was on. So I can't believe I spent an extra year on this that I can stay in the loop and beat myself up. I can't get that year back. But I can tell you from the experience of someone who has been both places, the direction the compass points and the direction the external voices point, I'm telling you, the compass is always more reliable. And it's also harder to follow. And the room is probably going to disagree. And the room is going to be disappointed. Even when following it means having these uncomfortable conversations and making the moves that require more faith than evidence. And voicing that, I got a lot of resistance. I was told I was wrong. And you have to take it. And you trust the compass anyway. Trust the compass because the room's going to disagree. And sometimes it hurts, but especially when they disagree and you know you could trust your fucking compass. One of the guys on my interview show was trying to launch his business. It was like 3 years. He had the idea, he had the skill, he did the research, he knew the market. But every time he got close to launching, he would find like another person to ask. Big network, this guy. One more opinion to collect, one more piece of external validation to gather before he felt ready to go. Maybe this is why I don't have the big circle. Maybe this is why I keep my network really tiny because I couldn't imagine spending 3 years asking everybody permission for my next move. But listen, he talked to 47 people about the business before he launched it. 47 people. And some of them, genuinely helped, but most of them just were adding noise. A handful actively confused him with opinions that contradicted each other. And he absorbed all of it, tried to incorporate it onto the business. It was just a patchwork of almost 50 people's opinions sewn into the skeleton of his own original clear idea. And so he said that everything kind of changed. It wasn't a big moment. He just gradually stopped asking and he just started trusting. He didn't stop learning, but he just stopped looking for that permission, for the validation. He stopped collecting that external validation as a prerequisite for the internal decision that had already been with him for 3 years. So he launches the original idea, the one from the beginning before he started polling everybody, and it worked. And no, it wasn't perfect. He was in the arena. It worked because it was his, because it came from the internal compass rather than the consensus of 47 people who were not living his calling. 47 opinions, one compass, and the compass was right the whole time. How many opinions are you collecting before you trust the one that was there first? If this is naming something for you, if you could put a figure on this and you know you've been checking the compass against the room instead of the room against the compass, share this out with a person who needs to hear it today. The one who is very smart and capable and talented and second guessing every fucking move for no reason. I know you struggle with that. They need that today too. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a written review, okay? Trusting yourself looks like making the decision and then not picking up the phone to ask if it was right. Not immediately. I want you to make a decision and then give yourself 48 hours before you debrief with the group chat. Let the decision stand on its own for long enough to find out how it actually feels without external input muddying the signal. It looks like posting the thing and closing the app and walking away, recording the podcast and releasing it and doing something else while the world has its response, not checking back in every 17 minutes, not refreshing your feed for the first hour, putting the thing out and trusting that the thing you made is worth what you gave it, and then you move on to the next fucking thing. Trusting yourself looks like being in a room and saying the thought, the actual thought, not the hedged version, because hedging is not politeness. Most of the time, hedging is you not trusting yourself enough to say the fucking truth. And the direct truth is always more useful in the room than the hedged version, okay? Trusting yourself looks like knowing the difference between new information that warrants updating the decision and anxiety that is masquerading as new information. Wisdom says, here's a fact I didn't have before. That changes the calculus. Doubt is saying, here's a feeling dressed up as concern, dressed as a reason to consider. Those two things feel similar from the inside. The difference is whether there is actual new information or whether this is just the same bullshit anxiety performing as something else. And it looks like forgiving yourself. This is what helped me trust in myself this last year, letting go, disappointing people, saying no to the thing I said yes to because everybody had a fucking opinion about it. I had to forgive myself for the decisions that didn't work out. Because this is the thing about self-trust that gets left out of the conversations, okay? Self-trust does not mean every decision is right. It means you extend to yourself the same grace you would extend to any other person you trust who makes a decision in good faith that doesn't produce the hoped-for result. You trust a friend who makes a call that does not work out. You do not stop trusting their judgment entirely. You trust that they used what they had. You learn with them and you keep trusting. Give yourself that. The decisions that didn't work out are not evidence that the compass is broken. They're evidence that you are a human fucking being making decisions in conditions of incapable information. Same as everyone. We're human. We're doing it. The compass is still reliable. The detour was not the verdict. And the work I want you to do for the next 7 days, I want you to practice what I am calling the 48-hour rule. Every decision you make, not the giant ones. I'm just saying like regular decisions. You make it and you let it stand for 48 hours before you seek any external input about it. I don't want you polling. I don't want you checking. I don't want you opening the group chat. I want the decision to exist in the world on its own authority for 48 hours and you pay attention to how it feels, not how the thing performs. How it feels, whether the internal voice is settled or whether it's unsettled, because settled means the compass is aligned. Unsettled means there is something worth looking at more carefully, but you can't hear either signal if you immediately replace it with external noise. On day three of this practice, you are going to notice something. The decisions that felt right in the first 48 hours mostly still feel right. And the instinct that you would have overridden by polling the room turned out to have been correct more often than not. That is the evidence building. That is the self schema updating. That is the file getting new data that says your judgment is more reliable than you have been treating it. Second practice, 1 week, every time you're going to ask someone for their opinion about something that is yours to decide, pause. Ask yourself first. Form your own conclusion. If you still want the external input, go get it. But get your answer first. Because most of the time, when you form your own conclusion first and then seek external input, the external input either confirms what you already knew or it gives you genuinely new information that updates the conclusion. Either outcome is useful. What stops being useful is the version where the external input arrives before you have even checked with yourself. Bitch, check with yourself. Because then you're not using the information to refine your thinking. You're using it to replace your thinking. That is not wisdom, that is deference. And you have deferred long enough, probably since fucking kindergarten. Better today than yesterday. Today you trust one decision without checking. Tomorrow you trust another. That is the work. The instincts you have been second guessing are more accurate than the approval that you've been collecting. The direction your compass has been pointing is more true than the consensus of the people around you who are not living your life. The knowing that sits in you quietly, that comes back to you regardless of how many times you ignore it, it doesn't go away either. That knowing is real. It was put there intentionally by a God who does not make mistakes about callings. And the work that you keep almost doing and then pulling back from, the podcast, the message, the book, the voice, the thing that is yours and nobody else's, that work requires the compass. Not the poll, not the committee, not the 47th opinion, the fucking compass. The internal knowing that has been pointing at this direction since before you had the vocabulary to say what it was. I've sat across from over 100 people in the past few months who are carrying their compass and they're treating it like a liability, who are hiking with the most reliable navigational tool available and double checking the shit against the opinions of people who are not on their trail. Every single one of them has something real, something specific, something that could reach the people who needed it if the person carrying it would just trust themselves enough to put it out. You, listen, bitch, you're one of those people. I know you are because you're here, because you keep coming back to the show, even when I hurt your feelings, even when I piss you off, because something in you keeps pointing toward the thing, even when the doubt is loud. Trust the damn compass. Put your shit out. Put the thing, put your fucking thing out and let it reach the people it was made for. Make sure you guys check the show notes. Come work with me. Tell me what the compass has been pointing at. Tell me what the knowing is that keeps coming back. Tell me why you're the one who's supposed to say it. I want to know. I help people stop second guessing the compass and start building from it. That is the work. The podcast that is built from the internal knowing rather than from that external bullshit validation. We find the voice that sounds like you because it comes from you, actually from you, not from the consensus of everyone we've asked. You guys be better today than yesterday. Today you trust one thing without checking. Tomorrow you trust another. The compass works. Start using it.